Okay, January 20th, 1982, Ida Cohen Sullivan interviewing Dorothy and Herb Finkelhorst. I'm going to turn to each one of you and ask certain questions. Mrs. Finkelhorst, Dorothy, can you tell me your father's name, your mother's name, and where they came from?
Well, my father was Jacob Simberg. Mm-hmm. My mother was Sarah Leah Simberg.
Do you know your mother's maiden name by any
yes,
chance?
Yes, Wagner.
Okay.
And they came, as far as we know, from Russia.
Yes, and you told me a moment ago, mm-hmm. not on the tape, where you think they were from.
From Zitomer. Zitomer. The literature they would get from organizations had that on it.
Zitomer. In other words, they were members of a fraternal organization, a Landsmannschaft. Yeah.
They used to refer to the Zitomer rabbi, didn't they?
I don't know about that.
Okay. And you mentioned something a moment ago about family yichus, pedigree. You want to tell me about it?
Yes. My uncle, who died very recently, and he was in his 90s, told us that we descended from the Baal Shem. Mm-hmm. My father was very active with the Hasidim.
Was he a Hasid?
He wasn't a Hasid. He was a supporter.
Which he supported the...
financially.
The Rabbi Twersky, you told me about, the Tolner Rabbi from Philadelphia.
That's right. And
he also supported the synagogue where they were in New York, didn't they?
Well, what was more significant was that when the rabbi came to New York and met with his followers who would come to get advice... Then he stayed at our home and came...
That means he trusted your mother's kashrus, because rabbis wouldn't eat at everybody's home.
And he came with his gabi. Uh-huh. And when we were married in 1922, September 3, Rabbi David Twersky performed the ceremony, and I've always been impressed with the fact that he didn't carry the siddur. He didn't carry the prayer book, whichever he used. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
can you tell me the names of your brothers and sisters, siblings?
My oldest sister, Regina, died last February. Mm-hmm. I come next. Mm-hmm. And then my brother Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, he died. And then my sister Mary, M-A-R-Y, and my sister Ted, who died.
Ted?
Theodore. Her name was Toby. And then my sister Lee, L-E-E, who lives in California, and my brother Alan, A-L-A-N, who lives in New York.
And I inherit a nice big family.
Yes.
When did your parents come to America?
My father came as a very young man, like about 9, an orphan. And he was at the mercy of anybody who helped. And
was he sent by the family?
No, he was one of a twin. There were a boy and a girl, and there were no parents. And he came to this country and then sent for his sister.
That young? That's very impressive. Did he come to Landsleit, to family?
As far as we know, he said no. He slept where he could find any place. And therefore, we lived on the east side. After I was, they were still living there when I was married. And
where in the east side, do you remember?
On Houston, sure.
You were
Houston.
Born when they lived on Houston Street.
I was born on Suffolk Street, 22 Suffolk Street.
And your mother came from the same part of the world?
And my mother and father came from the same part.
Oh, your mother also came from Jetonville.
Yeah, and my grandmother was a woman.
This is your maternal grandmother.
Maternal, yeah, didn't know the
other. Yeah, of course.
And,
Wagner sounds very German.
Yes, and we often asked, where was that Wagman instead of Wagner? My two uncles, Harry, who studied to be a rabbi, changed his mind and became a lawyer and graduated from NYU in 1906. His brother was a chemical engineer, and the North Dakota High School.
So his name was Harry Wagner.
Harry B. Wagner.
And he became
a lawyer. And his brother, Jacob, mm-hmm. was an engineer, served in the First World War mm-hmm. as a chemist. And then there were three sisters, my mother mm-hmm. and two of her sisters.
What were their names?
Tilly and Belle. And Belle is still alive.
Oh, wonderful.
And she's about 94. And
is she in New York?
No, Florida. She has one daughter, and she takes very good care of her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you did have a living grandmother that you remember.
I had a very wonderful living grandmother.
What was her name?
Her name was Anna. Anna.
Do you remember your grandmother's maiden name, or this would be way
out? Stotnegross.
Oh, you knew her name.
Stotnegross.
That is an unusual name.
Yes, and I think it meant the last house on the road. And also, what's interesting about my grandmother is that after my mother was born, my grandmother and grandfather were divorced.
Mm.
And after 5 years...
Was your mother the youngest?
No, the oldest. And after 5 years, they were remarried and had 4 children.
Mm. That's unusual.
Very unusual.
Okay.
My grandmother was a woman of culture.
Mm-hmm.
Came from a very poor family, married into a very wealthy family because she was so beautiful that she didn't need a dowry. Her first husband died in a year, and she lived with his family who wanted her to be adopted by them because they loved her so, but the servants wouldn't permit it. They reminded her that she was really didn't belong there. So she left and she married my grandfather, who was also from a very wealthy family, who had they supplied the grain to the troops. And my grandmother had the highest regard for her father-in-law.
Also from Zatoma?
Wherever that. And he was the wise man of the village.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard that he was interested in sedum, that part wasn't mentioned. Now, my grandmother was so involved with education, and my grandfather, not at all,
mm.
even though he came from that background.
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandmother and her two daughters worked. Not my mother, because my mother by that time had her own family, worked in order to make it possible for the two boys
mm-hmm.
to get a college education mm-hmm. in those days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This was on the Lower East Side
on the
already,
Lower East
when
Side.
They came over. So your mother was born in America? She was born
no,
in Europe.
No, my mother wasn't. My mother came over
as
about
a child.
17.
Uh-huh. As a young girl,
yeah,
I
she
see.
Didn't go to school here, but her sisters went to school.
Could you tell me what the home atmosphere was like when you were growing up?
In my mother's or my grandmother's?
Well,
in my grandmother's.
In your home, when you were growing up. Not the stories, although they're fascinating, about your mother's growing up, but your home, your family atmosphere, religion, economic.
Now, my father he wasn't a student of religion, but he would have liked to be.
Mm-hmm.
He supported it.
Was he Americanized since he came as a child?
No, he had a foreign. He had an accent. He started.
Do you think your father had an accident?
Accent. Yes, I think so. Maybe very little, but he did. And he started as a peddler.
And he didn't have a chance to get much schooling.
No, he didn't. And he didn't read the English paper, but read the Yiddish papers regularly.
Which paper do you remember?
Oh, the Forvitz. My father, because he didn't have a home, thought that if you had a covering, that was a good home. And we rebelled because we didn't like, you know, living on the east side spoke for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were not happy with that. Nor was my mother. Not that she cared for herself, but she cared so much for us to have it better. So my mother and father did not live in harmony.
Mm, okay.
I mean, what's new about that?
Was your mother an educated woman?
Yes. Oh, yes. In Europe. My mother spoke and wrote Russian and Polish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
Yiddish also?
Oh.
What about Hebrew?
No Hebrew, either one of them.
Were they Sabbath observers, your
parents?
Oh,
my, yes. Very, yes. But my mother was more involved with us than with religion, because if we needed a blouse ironed, and my father had already gone off to shul, we could take the ironing board out.
Okay. Should I erase that?
I don't think. I think that's history.
Okay.
Did you
children get a Jewish education?
We were sent. I was sent both to Hebrew school and to the Educational Alliance for the Hebrew lessons. It didn't take.
Oh.
For one thing, I wasn't a student because I'm a high school dropout with a doctor's degree. So
we'll talk about that later.
So not doing homework, it was nothing new to me. I knew how not to do homework.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, a professional.
Mm-hmm.
But
you did go to the Educational Alliance. You know that there have been a lot of researches and books written about the atmosphere there.
It was wonderful. I did. It brought us up.
Mm-hmm.
They had volunteer women who came, we would now call them the Jet Set.
Mm-hmm.
But they, and Mrs. Roosevelt was over at the Henry Street Settlement, we were at the Educational Alliance, and these people, they brought with them a way of life. And they really didn't make us feel like we were less.
Did you ever meet Julia Richman?
No. I know the high school, but I never met her. And we also went to camp. And we started going to camp when we were 6 years old.
Was this through the Educational Alliance?
No, the six-year-old wasn't. It was through a daycare center, a Brighton daycare center on Long Island. My husband will tell you I have perfect recall.
Oh, that's fantastic, yes.
And then from the...
Which elementary school did you go to?
I went to PS 137, PS 7... And then PS-62.
And you didn't go to high school, you say you were a dropout?
No, I went for 3 years.
Which high school?
Washington Irving High School. Now, I was sent to
high school. Have you ever seen it recently?
I haven't, but I spoke with them.
Gorgeous. They have a bust of Washington Irving in front of the school, and in that neighborhood there is not one graffito on it, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's right across the street from the Child Welfare League.
Well, I called them.
Yeah.
Recently. They
you wanted to
them,
get your high school diploma?
No, I wanted to speak for their graduation because I'm a professional platform speaker.
Yeah.
And they're very much interested, but now it's a question of whether they can afford to pay.
Uh-huh.
And platform speakers are willing to do some of this without being paid, but I said
You told me that your father started as a peddler.
Right.
He didn't stay a peddler, did he?
Not very long. He started as a peddler. When I was born in 1902, my sister was born in 1900.
Mm-hmm.
And my father had already had a horse and wagon. And he went out. He did it on such almost a modern method. He'd go out to get orders every other... Frank, pardon, but would you do the...
Can you hear me way back?
Absolutely.
Now tell me more about how your father worked himself up.
So my father, he got the horse and wagon. And every other day, he'd go out for orders.
What did he sell?
Oh, paper, bags, twine, and woodenware.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we now, who would think of putting herring in a wooden dish? But we did. That's where you bought your individual herring. What do we put them into now? Plastic containers.
I'm trying to remember. They used to sell them out of barrels, which were made of wood.
Oh, well, the big ones. But
oh,
when you bought one,
oh,
you got that. It was a dish,
mm-hmm,
and it was made of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And but what is significant in...
So he was a retailer, in other words. He
and wholesaler.
He became a wholesaler.
He was a New York, Lower Manhattan distributor.
He was a metropolitan representative for the Union Bag and Paper Company, which is now Camp, it's on the big board. And my father was, he and three or four other men, one was Gilman, who does that Hudson bag, towels and napkins put out by Hudson. Well, they were bosom friends of my father's. Now, there is a difference in men. My father thought small. That is, if you could have seven children and you can support them, you can give them a house and it has walls and a ceiling, that's fine. His friends were more ambitious and they ended up being multimillionaires. My father never envied them. And that's what I brought out before, the fact that to my father, that was a good home. And it was a good home, excepting that we rebelled against where we lived because we found it very difficult to say we lived on the east side, which I think is very significant, and that we have to remember that the blacks today have a difficult time saying they lived on the hill. Now, my mother was very ambitious for us to be happy. If we didn't do our homework, and if we dropped out of school, that was our business. That was a relationship between us and our teacher. You're off pause?
We're taping now.
Okay, all right. And therefore, we didn't get criticized. We got loved. And one of the things that I have stressed in my work, my relationship with people, is that when they deserve at least, give them most.
You know, I can tell Carol's your daughter.
Then, if that is true, then you don't get criticized. And therefore, you have room to be critical of yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't have to defend yourself
at
all.
It was a loving atmosphere at home.
With us, it was very loving, but not with my father. Because my father wanted more attention than my mother gave him, and she thought it was ridiculous. She was like Fiddler. I've been married to him for 25 years, and now he wants to know if I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I cooked for him, I swept for him, and that's exactly what my mother said.
Mm-hmm.
My father, on the other hand, said, you have seven children, I am your eighth. Now, that is a very broad hint.
Mm-hmm.
My mother didn't pick it up. She just said, you are my husband, they are my children, and together we bring them up. That was the atmosphere in the home.
Well, I guess because he had been an orphan, he wanted mothering, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Which he didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
And too bad.
How old were your parents when they died?
Now, my father was like 82, and my mother may have been about 76.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they lived to raise the whole family, marry off, and think
that's
everything.
Right.
May I now switch to your husband? All right. Now, Mr. Finkelhart, let's repeat what you just told me that was not recorded. Your father's name
was Ben Finkelhart.
And he came from?
Came from Kovno.
And your mother?
Sarah Samuels, and she came from Minsk.
Okay, now you can continue. You started telling me about your grandfather.
My grandfather, Max Finkelhart, and his brother came over in the 70s and went to New York and worked in a factory of some relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went back, my grandfather went back and brought over some of his
brothers.
Brothers, yes.
and sisters.
And then he was evidently married in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then my father came over after he was bar mitzvah, about
mm-hmm.
the age of 15.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to work for the Schillers. Then in
what kind of work did he do?
They
manufactured underwear.
And they all worked in the factory.
Uh-huh.
And then in the 80s, about 83, they began to move to Pittsburgh.
Who were the first migrants to Pittsburgh?
Well, one of the my grandfather's brother first came to Pittsburgh.
What was his name?
Was he L.J.?
L.J., Lewis Jacob
mm-hmm.
Finkelhor.
Mm-hmm. Why did he come here? Do you know?
No, I don't. I think they had some landslide
mm-hmm.
here. And then my father, who was then in his 20s,
mm-hmm.
came to Pittsburgh and became a salesman for the Bernstein Company. They were wholesalers and, I believe, manufacturers of men's trousers.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad traveled for them.
What year?
In...
Take it from the time that before you were born, dear, because when you were born, they had the factory in Beaver Falls, and that was 1901.
Well, this was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the 80s they came to Pittsburgh. He worked. He traveled not just locally, he traveled over the
mm-hmm.
Northeast and the Middle.
Was he a customer peddler?
No,
or
no, sold to stores.
Oh, okay.
He was a traveling salesman.
Traveling salesman?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. This is a question that I forgot to ask Dorothy. Do you know the name of the synagogue your father belonged to?
Oh, I should. The Talmud Torah. Isn't it the name?
Yes, I think it's
Talmud Torah.
On the Lower
on
East Side?
On 8th Street.
Yes.
8th Street
mm-hmm.
is where it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you know the name of the synagogue your father was a member of?
They started out downtown, the one that still is there.
My father actually was a member of the Romanian synagogue, and we were not Romanian, but that was a convenient synagogue to go to. Then years later, he joined the Talmud.
Which Romanian synagogue?
I don't
know. Oh.
What's the synagogue?
Beth HaMedrash HaGadol?
Beth HaMedrash HaGadol, yes, yes.
It was Beth HaMedrash HaGadol.
Yes, yes,
okay.
They belong. And then in 1898, my father and a man by the name of Smith, who had been an automobile salesman, opened a men's trouser factory in Beaver Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Smith ran the plant. My father traveled.
Mm-hmm.
His mother moved to Beaver Falls and hated it.
Well, we didn't get them married yet.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about your mother's family.
Yeah.
Now, your grandfather Max remained in New York?
No, he's in Pittsburgh.
Oh, he came
he's
to Pittsburgh. Okay.
Oh, he and his father came to Pittsburgh, too.
Okay.
His father died in Pittsburgh. His mother died in Europe.
Okay. Max's father?
Max's father lived in Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
And died in
what was his name?
I don't know.
But, oh, so yes. Many generations
yes, yes,
already.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
And Sarah? Tell me about Sarah.
Sarah.
She was born in Minsk?
In Minsk and came here
to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yes.
With her family?
Yes, sure.
Yes, for their whole
they were well-to-do people in
Europe,
and she always felt that they made a mistake to come.
Okay. Why did the Samuels family come to Pittsburgh? You know?
Did they have family here? I don't know.
This is one of the things we ask because
yeah.
it's very interesting to know what brought people
yeah.
outside of New York.
I'll call Leonard again. He might know
maybe
that.
A little
yes,
bit later.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So can you tell me where your father met your mother? Or how?
They lived, I think they both lived on Bluff Street. I don't
uh-huh.
know
mm-hmm.
don't know how they met.
Mm-hmm.
But
they
mm-hmm. were both a good-looking, alert young couple.
Let me backtrack again. Could you figure out the dates of birth of your parents, and could you figure out the dates of birth of your parents?
I could, because my mother was married when she was about 18. So my sister Regina, who was born in 1901, was the first child.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make my mother like 1880.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a little older. So let's say he was 1877.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about you?
Well, let's see. Oh, I would be able to figure out when my parents married.
Yes, because
Leonard
was 87 on his last birthday.
And that was their
so they were married 88 years ago.
Oh, boy, both of you know that the first child was born a year after the wedding.
Exactly, to the day, because we've been celebrating his birthday.
Okay.
They were married
1886, and then the baby was born 1887.
So she would have been born around 1870, your mother? Before that, 1868?
She was a younger girl.
Yes, they were probably both born in the 60s. So how much older was my...
Dad was a little older than mother. I would think he was about 5 years older than mother.
Okay, it's not that important. Yeah. I'm just curious. That would put your father at the Civil War, at the date of the beginning of the Civil War.
Might have been.
Okay. They met, you think, on the in the neighborhood and married.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know a little bit about you mentioned one brother already. Could you give me the names of all your siblings?
All right, that's
Leonard.
Leonard is 87.
Is he married?
He's married. He's a widower.
Wife. He's a widower.
Uh-huh.
Nate is 85.
He's a widower.
And I'm 80, I'll be 82,
and
81.
You said you're L. Herbert. What's the L for again?
Lawrence.
Yes. Uh-huh. With a W or a U?
W, or Lawrence.
Okay.
Herbert.
And you are 80?
I'll be 82 in March.
Uh-huh. And?
81, I'm sorry, 81.
Okay, and next?
Next is...
Morris,
who lives in Miami,
in September, he was 76 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's married to B. Goldman.
B. Goldman.
And then there's Howard, Dr. Howard Nicholson.
Yeah, we know who he's married to.
And
how old is Howard?
He is 7 plus, he's 10 plus, you know why I say that? Jean was 7 years old when we were married, Howard was 10, and Maury was 16. So, Howard is 70.
70.
In
okay.
February, he'll be 70.
Okay. Isn't this wonderful?
And Eugene,
all boys.
All boys, no girls.
Well, wait until I tell you.
Eugene
mm-hmm.
lives in London. He's
7 plus, he's 67. Well, when Leonard was 21 years old and there were six boys,
mm-hmm.
do you think she needed to become pregnant?
Yes, she wanted
pregnant,
a girl.
And what did she get?
Another boy.
Two.
Twin boys.
One lived. That's Jean. But she tells me she never wanted girls because they hang stockings in the bathroom. And she was a meticulous housekeeper.
Oh, that's marvelous. That's a wonderful story. And so you have a whole Finkelhor clan here, going way back with your grandfather also.
Incidentally, I just learned something by calling Leonard. Back in the... this pants factory burned down in Beaver Falls.
Mm.
And Dad was traveling, and I was born that year, 1901. They were next to a paper storage house. And they didn't have enough insurance, so they were out of business. And my dad came back and went into business with his brother Sam Finkelhor, a wholesale and retail men's clothing. They started in the 600 block in Fifth Avenue. Then they kept that store as a retail store and opened in Chestnut Street. Back in the 1900s, they opened a store in East Liberty. One brother, Sam, had started in Jeanette. He had a store in Jeanette. They opened a store in Cleveland. and one in Youngstown.
Oh, wow.
Brothers-in-law.
Very
successful. So they were early chain,
yeah,
clothing
real
chain
entrepreneurs.
Store.
I have another question that I neglected. I'm just trying to remember it. I mentioned that I had encountered the name Finkelhor as very active in the National Council of Jewish Women, and you mentioned, would you repeat again for the record who this Mrs. Finkel, Sadie Finkelhor, was?
Do you want the names of his father's brothers?
Well, I wrote down the names of all his father's brothers. I wrote down all the names of your brothers,
that's
not
right.
Your father's brothers. Okay, give me the names of your father's brothers.
There was Ed Finkelhor, whose wife was Sadie.
Uh-huh.
And
Sam.
Sam Finkelhor, who was his wife.
His wife was Molly.
They lived, we lived at 5515 Jackson Street, and Sam and Molly, with three boys, lived at 5519 Jackson
mm-hmm.
Street. So we had
mm-hmm.
nine Finkelhor boys on Jackson Street.
Oh, boy.
Then there was...
And that took care of the anti-Semitism on the street, because they poked people.
Then there was Saul Finkelhor.
Who married Hilda Frank of Frank and Cedars.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Who else was
there? There were two sisters. Ida Levy, who lived in Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
And Seal, who lived in Connelsville.
Oh, so you spread out over western Pennsylvania. Yeah.